Welcome to the UK and Man podcast, episode 83. I'm Josh.
I'm Tim.
And I'm Dave.
And on this week's episode, should we lock the clock?
All right, guys, welcome back to the UK and Man podcast, where we believe what one man can do, you can do as well, with a little help from your friends and the proper know-how. This week, we're talking about daylight savings.
Saving.
I always do that. And in fact, when I was show prepping, I thought to myself, there's no S on it. And I was like, I'm not going to say it.
I knew you were going to say it. I was like, here it
daylight
comes.
Daylight saving.
Boom. Well, you must be shamed.
And should we be changing our clocks twice a year? I mean, come on. This is ridiculous, right?
Maybe not.
So we're going to talk about it. And we have a in-studio guest expert, Mr. Wes Cantrell. He is a Georgia State Representative. Wes, say hello.
Hello, everybody. It's good to be here tonight with you guys and talking about locking the clock.
Yeah. So Wes has sponsored, well, actually kind of multiple bills.
Absolutely,
right now,
multiple bills.
To try to get this through. Now, it does take federal government approval, if I'm not mistaken.
One of the options requires federal approval.
Okay, so we're going to get into this. We're also going to talk about how Wes became a state representative and everything that went into that, because he was not in politics before, and this was his first elected position
outside of the youth choir at church in the
70s. That counts.
Yeah. So to give a little bit of background on Wes, he was my youth pastor growing up and was a youth pastor before that. And then a youth pastor after that, and a young, what did they call you? What did you do after that? What? Like young and young singles?
Young adult pastor.
Young adult pastor.
Now it's young marrieds pastor.
Young marrieds pastor.
What would you say you do here?
Right. So Wes is now currently ministering at Woodstock First Baptist, which is a huge church, does tons for the community, and he's been heavily involved there in leadership for, how long now?
14 years.
14 years. So Wes has tons of experience, and we cannot wait to start interviewing him about how he became a state representative and all the things he's doing to lock the clock. So, guys, what has been going on this week?
Well, I'll say this right now. I'm a little hot, okay? I'm literally sweating over here because, as you guys know, I'm decked out of my Braves gear because we're in the throes of the NLCS. And I'm getting all hot and bothered.
Oh my God.
Man, I'm having to take my jersey off.
In a smelly jersey from 1999.
The jersey smells bad. I smell great. I don't think I've ever washed this jersey. Okay.
Mm. That's probably why.
It's my John Rocker jersey.
Wow. I'm offended.
Yeah. I might need to retire. Like I thought it was funny when I was, 22, but now it's kind of funny. Okay. So that guy was kind of a jerk.
At the time of this recording, the Braves are actually playing right now, game three.
Yes.
So, Dave's got his phone sitting up.
No, I had my phone on, but I turned it off to be respectful to all the gentlemen around this table.
Yeah, you should. You should. Last episode, I talked about installing French doors, and I have got the French doors installed. I actually showed Wes earlier.
Nice.
Looks good.
And I'm in kind of the stage of doing the micro adjustments of the doors, which is takes
just forever. That's when you want to take them back out.
Right.
That's the stage, I guess.
Yeah. Well, I had them fine. And then my wife was like, well, is this level right here? And I was like,
yes, it's level.
Yes, look away.
Yeah. And then I moved it. And now I got all these problems.
Are these like custom made doors? You have to go somewhere and say, these are my measurements. Make me some doors.
Well, yes and no. Yeah. The actual door set themselves, no, is a standard size. However, the side lights and the transom were custom made for the opening that I created.
Gotcha.
So, yes, semi-custom, I would say. Josh, anything notable?
No.
Cool.
Okay.
Good pod material.
All right.
I came prepared.
Okay. Well, Wes, did you want to add anything random before we get into...
Let me think about that. No.
Okay.
Hey, I've been watching the confirmation hearings.
Really?
Which are riveting.
I bet.
But
confirmation of who, Josh?
Amy Comey Barrett. Yeah. Is it Coney?
It's Coney. It's Coney. Like Coney Island.
All right. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Is she put together?
Can you imagine being on? I mean, she's doing she's super poised. But can you imagine just being like every decision you've ever made is being, yes, you know, poured over on national television in front of the country. I can't, yeah, even imagine.
And that. What's amazing with her is she reminds me of like Ben Shapiro. She's just a computer. Correct. Like everything just comes to her as quickly as possible. But yeah, it's got to be tough to sit there knowing like you're way smarter than most of the people that are talking to you. I mean, there's a lot of smart people up there, but man, she is just like, this is child's play for her. So anyway, she's doing a great job. The questions are amazing. Every question that comes out is like, I know you can't answer this, but I'll ask it anyway. Here we go. Like,
yeah. I haven't watched any of it, but I watched some of the last hearing. It was just, that was just a circus show.
It was awful.
Okay, Wes, we always like to ask our guests, where are you on the DIY scale? So
is this a 1 to 10 deal?
This is a 1 to 10.
All right.
One is like, I've never picked up a hammer in my life.
Okay.
10 is like, I just took out the motor in my car.
All right. Well, if you'd asked me this about 10 years ago, I would have given myself about a 2 or 3.
Really?
Yeah. But then my contractor that was finishing my basement bailed on me about 2/3 in. So I learned how to hang cabinets. I laid some floor.
Nice.
And then I had to redo that whole thing where our 86-year-old in-laws just moved in with us and completely redid the basement this summer, and I was my own contractor this time from start to finish.
Nice.
Didn't do a lot of it myself. Okay, so I don't want to overplay that in my hand. But,
GC, you're the
but did a lot of it. Did a lot of it. And actually enjoyed it.
Did you get your adult sons to help you?
I did not.
You said you took out like the hardwood floors, you put in the shag carpeting and put the wood paneling back up.
That is negative.
For the
I got you, Dave. I got
to make me feel comfortable.
Yeah.
Right. Yep.
Okay. So what do you think you're at? Like a 7?
I'm probably a 7 now.
Okay.
Yeah. Nice.
Learn how to use YouTube. You know,
yes.
YouTube is your best.
Pretty
friend.
Much anything you want to do. You can find it if you want to.
That's right. We say whenever you're about to start a project, do your research. And part of your research is YouTube for sure. Okay. So let's first talk about how you became a state representative.
All right.
Because I want to hear, I don't think this, correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think it was something that was on your radar.
Well, hang on. Before that, I got a serious question, an important question. Do you have like one of the state representative license plates? Because I saw your car out there. It looks like, I mean, it's a pretty sweet BMW. It looks like it came with a driver.
It's a Mercedes.
That's what I said. Oh my gosh. So embarrassed. It was a Mercedes. But I didn't look at the license plate. Whenever I see those license plates, I'm like, oh, there's one there.
It's 13 years old, the car.
It's still looking good. Still looking good.
But it is a great car. And I don't have the license plate for a lot of reasons.
Okay.
I don't want to be targeted, number one.
There you go.
True.
And, I have been known to maybe exceed the speed limit.
Hey, man, I hear you, brother.
That's not a get out of jail free pass.
Well, it is if it's GSP. But if it's local guys, absolutely not.
It's not going to play.
Okay.
Because we control the GSP salary. So
that's right.
They like us. But to continue on this, I don't know, it doesn't really fit what we're talking about, but the day we voted on the budget about 3 years ago where we gave GSP a 20% across the board raise.
That's substantial.
Voted on it, got in my car, going 75 north, pulled over by the GSP. All right. So my jacket is hanging in the window, you know, in the back window with my badge. Okay. And I'm thinking, do I dare? You know? and I couldn't do it. So I took my ticket, and I thought, while he's writing me up back there, I thought, well, when he comes back after he writes me the ticket, I go, hey, and by the way, I just voted you a 20% raise. But when it came time, I couldn't deliver. I took my medicine and like a man.
You got to play it cool and be like, oh, I'm sorry, sir. I dropped my badge. Do you mind grabbing it for me?
There were lots of thoughts within my mind. I'm a big baby at the end of the day.
You would have mentioned that, and then he would have just been like, and
sir, the laws
of all no, you would have said, well, of all people, you should know better.
And then you would say, yeah, that's right, it was a test. And you just passed. Oh, that's good times. So you became a state representative in 2015. Is that
2015
right?
Was when I was sworn in January.
That's right.
Got elected in 2014.
So how young were you at the time? You're not a career politician. This is what interests me.
Is 52. Like
52.
I'm okay. 59 now, but I was 52 at the time. My wife and I were sitting at dinner February the 21st, 2014, celebrating our 28th wedding anniversary at the Sundial Restaurant.
Ooh, nice.
Downtown Atlanta. Never been there before. I've lived here all this time. Never had been there. Great place. Set it up, man, where we'd be there right at sunset, the whole deal. And my phone starts ringing. And so I ignore it. And then I remember, oh, yeah, I'm a pastor. It could be an emergency. So I text the guy, hey, if this is an emergency, I'll call you back. Otherwise, I'm trying to have a nice quiet dinner with my wife. And he wrote back these famous words. He said, well, if you could, I guess I could wait till tomorrow, but if you could call me back without getting into too much trouble, please do. Well, I decided to be a good husband for a change, and so I didn't call him back till the next day. And I'll skip through a lot of the detail, but he asked me to pray about running for office. And my wife was in the car, was on speaker, and we both just started laughing. And yeah, so we gave him the Christian answer. When you want to say no, but you want to say it nicely, right? We'll pray about it. Yeah, right. We will. So we laughed about it. Seriously, drove home, didn't give it another thought. And that night I was sitting in the den by myself, and our daughter was overseas on a year-long mission trip. My son, second son, had gotten married, and my oldest son was living in D.C. as a musician up there. And it was just like this still quiet time, and it was like I just, oh, man, I guess I really am supposed to pray about this. So I call my wife in the room, like, you're not going to believe this, Jane, but I think we really are supposed to consider this. I don't want to. You don't want to, but I can't explain this feeling I have that I'm supposed to. But before we waste any time praying about it, let me call my pastor, because if pastor's not okay with this, then forget about it. We're out, you know, because it was going to involve a pretty serious, you know, change in my job, because it is a part-time gig. We make a whopping $17,000 a year, you know, as state reps. So nobody does it for the money, I hope. So my pastor, I called him, and he happened to be available for lunch the next day. We went to lunch, and he's like, yeah, I'm on board. That sounds awesome. If that's what God's leading you to do, blah, 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 you know. But my pastor is an encourager. If you can be an encourager to a fault, that's my pastor. So I didn't, frankly, I didn't believe him, but I felt like maybe he wasn't telling me everything, you know. Mm-hmm. So I did a little back check with our executive pastor. He's one of my best friends, and said, hey, can you find out, you know, without saying you talk to me, talk to him and find out what he really thinks about it. Because if he has even just the inkling, you know, because I'm looking for a way out. Right. And he called me back the next day. He said, I can't explain this, Wes, but not only is he supportive, but he's enthusiastically supportive. Okay. And I was like, oh, man, I'm not off the hook. So I had a few days to make up my mind. 11:30 Thursday night, I have to go down by noon on Friday and qualify. Do you guys, you fellas know what it takes to qualify for office?
Absolutely not. No, not in Georgia. I don't know.
A $400 check.
And that's what it takes to qualify. Okay. Yeah.
I thought they were going to make me run an obstacle course or something. But no, just give us your $400 and prove you live in the district that you're running for, and you're good to go.
Okay.
So that night, 11:30, my wife and I sat on the couch. We prayed one more time. I said, let's go to bed, get up in the morning, have a clear mind about it. I'm going to find a suit. I hadn't been to a funeral recently, so I didn't know where my suits were. I'm going to find a suit. I'll put it on. I'm going to drive downtown and qualify for office. And so we got up the next morning and felt good about it. But I have to tell you, not to go too spiritual on everybody, but I felt like at age 52, for the first time in my life, God asked me to do something that I absolutely did not want to do.
Interesting.
And so I felt like I was obeying out of duty. I was doing something out of duty. And duty's not a bad thing, you know. I mean, that's an admirable thing. But we had a very unusual situation in our district, where a guy who had represented us for a decade was diagnosed with leukemia, passed away very short order, had a special election.
Okay.
It was on the coldest day of the year. It was so cold, they closed the schools in Cherokee County. My wife and I talked, we want to go vote in this special election. And I was like, and we didn't vote. How embarrassing is that? I didn't even vote. So if I had voted, I would have voted for the guy that I ended up replacing, who turned out to be kind of a, what's a nice word, crazy guy, kind of wild, very extreme. How about that? Extreme's okay. So the first question at the debate that I had with him was, you know, Mr. Cantrell, we noticed you hadn't voted. You didn't vote, but yet you're running for this. And I said, well, that's interesting that you'd ask. And I pulled out from underneath the desk. I had the voting records of myself and the other two candidates. And I said, well, here's the voting records of me and these other two candidates. And I said, I didn't vote, but actually I did vote. I voted by not voting because neither one of these folks made a strong enough case to get me out on a cold day. And if you're going to go by voting records, I voted in, you know, 8 of 8 primaries. One had voted like in 4 of 8. And the guy that won that I was going against had only voted in 3 of 8. So I said, so if that's the criteria, then yeah, here, look at my record.
Nice. Wes comes to play.
So and what was your level of interest in politics up to that point?
Pretty much zero. I loved the banter. I like to talk about politics. There was a state rep that was in the church there. That was one of my Sunday school leaders. And he and I would talk politics a lot. We'd go to lunch and just, you know, it was kind of just kind of fun. It's kind of interested, but never like, I mean, never had even crossed my mind to run. And I don't know if you remember this about me, but when I do something, I'm all in.
Oh, yeah.
So it was full. I mean, I'm in it to win it. So, I mean, I qualified. I hit the ground that night. The next day, I made an appointment with the Speaker of the House the next week, and I went down there and saw him at the Capitol, and I said, hey, you're sending money to one of these people I'm running against. It's a waste of time because I'm going to win, and I'm just here to tell you. So I wish you'd pull out and stop giving money in my race because I'm going to win this race, and I'll be seeing you down here next year. You know, and he's kind of like, well, who's this little guy? You know, and so so we worked hard. I personally knocked on over 2,000 doors. Mm. My team knocked over 6,000 doors. We made over 24,000 phone calls. And I won by 70-30 at the end. Nice. Wow. Because I campaigned in a way to never have to campaign again.
Yeah.
Because I campaigned on term limits, and I don't believe you can be for term limits if you don't term limit yourself. So this will be my last term this next time, four terms.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yep,
okay.
This will be my last term. And I didn't want to – the campaigning is brutal. It's kind of fun. It's kind of awful knocking on people's doors, bothering. Yeah. You know, they think you're a Jehovah's Witness or a Mormon or a roofer, you know, and then they're kind of relieved. Oh, you're a politician. That's okay. You know? So I met a lot of great people, had a lot of fun, but I didn't want to do that again.
Yeah,
so I worked hard. I didn't leave anything on the field because I was like, I'm going to crush these people so that I don't ever have to. And I spent a lot of money. People gave me tons of – I think I raised $72,000 that first year just through texting people.
Mm. And you
saying,
had –
hey, I'm crazy. I'm running for office.
And you had your good buddy Tim Harmon get your domain name.
That's
for
right.
You.
That is so funny. You brought that up because my consultant's like, somebody bought your your domain name, westcantrill.com.
So to let our listeners know, I guess it was on Facebook or something. I heard that Wes was running, and I was like, you know what? I bet he didn't register his domain name.
Did you hold a hostage?
No.
Oh, I gave
it to him. He gave it to me. Oh, yeah, man.
Tim.
So I didn't want his opponent to go and, you know, get his name, westcantrail.com. So I was like, I'm going to go get it. And then I'll transfer it over, which I did. So did.
That's solid. Funny. I'd forgotten about that. That's great. That was a great story. I remember that.
Yeah.
Somebody got your domain.
So for a minute there, you thought somebody had stolen it.
Absolutely. Yes. It was for several hours. You know, my campaign consultant was all like, oh, my goodness, what are they going
to
do?
It's going to redirect to the other your opponent.
Yeah, yeah, which they very well it's could funny. Have.
I mean, which would have made no difference.
At this level,
it's, you know, it's fun. On a national level, maybe, but on this level, it's really about
17
knocking. Doors, talk to people. Yeah, exactly.
I'm a big proponent of everyone having their name as a domain name because you just never know. Well,
that's probably smart.
Because then you can say like, no, I'm the real Tim Harmon. You know, I got timharmon.com. So anyway, so now you got westcantrill.com. Yeah, don't let that expire.
I haven't. I still got it.
Even after your last term, you just got to hang
no
on
No term limit on the domain name.
Yeah. Now, does the term limit thing apply if you wanted to just switch over to the Senate side?
It does not. It's a four terms consecutive. I could go back to the House, sit out a term and then go back.
Oh, okay.
Or I could go over to the other chamber or I could run for governor.
Okay.
Was there any voting on term limits? Like you ran on it. Was there?
Well, the way it works, unfortunately, Josh, is that every year I've co-sponsored with other legislators who are already there term limits legislation. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately,
they're not excited about
the body that has to vote on it is us.
And they, wild.
In fact, my very first time I got in trouble down there, this guy called me in his office. They try to intimidate you, you know. He had this book. It was like I felt like Jimmy Stewart and Mr. Potter, you know. It's a Wonderful Life. I sit down and the chair's real low. He's on the ground there. And he brings this book out and he opens it up and he fingers through it and he finds my page. You know, apparently he goes, oh, Representative Cantrell, I see you're for term limits. So who down here exactly do you want to get rid of? And I said, well, nobody in particular. I mean, I know what I was thinking.
How much time?
I was thinking you're one of them, but he's gone now, I'm safe to say that. But, you know, they're never going to term limit themselves,
sure.
Even though 80% of people want some kind of term. So I'm going to introduce
bipartisan
the guy that sponsored it the last three terms that I've been down there is no longer there. So I'll have my own bill this time. And I'm going to sponsor a bill that will term limit the legislature, the reps and the senators to 6 consecutive terms, because I don't really care.
Which is generous.
It is generous. And it's not really about term limits for me. It's about the advantages of incumbency. If we could figure out a way to get rid of the advantages of incumbency, I would not be a proponent of term limits. But once you're down there, unless you do something really dumb, it's almost impossible to lose because you have all the advantages of being in the news, of having a budget where you can do things that are part of your job as a legislator, but they're really campaigning. Yeah. So you have the built-in, and then all the lobbyists are giving you money in addition to that. So you've got a war chest of money to spend. It's so unfair. So if we could get rid of that, I wouldn't be a term limits guy. But my bill is going to term limit both the House and the Senate to 12 years. It'll also going to go a couple steps further. We're going to term limit leadership to 8 years. So the Speaker of the House, the Speaker pro tem, and the President pro tem in the Senate would be have 8 year terms limit, so four terms. And then I'm going to also throw a bone to the Senate and change their term to 4 years, because right now they serve 2 years just like we do. So every two years you feel like you're always campaigning. It's
that makes sense.
So yeah, so they'll get four, and that bill will have absolutely no chance.
Is this bill? Yeah, you're probably.
And I'll get
right.
in trouble.
Has any other states passed something similar?
Oh yeah, absolutely. There's several states that have term limits. Some of them, one's extreme. I think it's either Colorado or Nebraska has 6 year term limits. Mm. So by the time you really know what you're doing, you're done. Mm. I think six is too short. There's several. I can't remember them, but there's three or four that have term limits. But most of the times they're in states that have the ability for the people to rise up and put stuff on the ballot. So it's not there by the legislature. It's put there by the citizenry. Like what do they do in California? They have all the what do they call it? Starts with a P. You know, so it's something to put on the ballot, and it says a number, you know.
Oh, right.
And anybody can put it on there. They're sitting
yeah,
like,
they
get
did
a number
that
of
with,
signatures.
With weed.
Yeah,
California
yeah, exactly,
did that.
Exactly.
Right.
So that's where it happened. Those are the
proposition.
That's the
yes,
word.
Yes, of course.
Proposition 39, you know, whatever
yes,
it is.
Yes,
and that's how they get it done. To have a legislature term limit themselves is virtually impossible.
Okay.
I thought about grandfathering, where you'd make it where it only applied to new legislators. That way everybody there is safe, but I've been told that's unconstitutional. So I kind of don't want to do anything unconstitutional. Sounds awful.
Okay. I love that.
I could talk about this
yeah,
for hours.
We could probably fill the rest of the time with that, but we want to transition to talk about multiple bills that you have tried to push through. I shouldn't say push through, but you have proposed them and you have sponsored these bills and you've been the main guy behind these bills to get rid of us changing the times.
Exactly.
Dave's giving the slow clap over there.
Got to.
So I'm a big... I want this to happen. And I've been following your posts on Facebook for years now where you've been trying to get this done. When I first read it, I was like, I don't think that's going to happen. But over the years, you know, you just start putting out more and more information. Mm-hmm. I'm like, you know what? That makes a whole heck of a lot of sense. And it was always interesting because people got a lot to say about it.
Yep.
But you always kind of remain neutral in the sense that you would say, now, look, I'm not saying which way we're going to go with
right.
it. We just need to stick
Stop
to
the
something.
Flip-flop.
Right.
Stop the flip-flop, right?
Well, the polling's clear. I mean, 90% of people hate time change.
Yeah, when I first saw it, and I've been following you for a while too, but when I saw the proposal, I was like, that's a home run. That's a home run issue for the voters.
Yeah.
But
well, when I first got elected,
story.
There were two issues that were kind of fun issues that I was getting dinged on all the time. One was fireworks, making fireworks legal. And so I so badly wanted to sponsor that legislation, but somebody else had that idea already. And so I just co-sponsored it. And then it was time change. And every time I brought it up down there, they were like, don't do it. Don't poke the bear, you know. And I'm like, I am poking the bear. This is silly. You know, why do we do this to our people every year?
Right.
I hate the time change. And especially as a minister, because they do it on Saturday night,
right,
so it kills
right.
your Sunday. You know, it's unreal, especially one in the spring. The one in the fall is kind of nice, get that extra hour.
So, is it just one of those things that's so entrenched in our culture that it's not? Is that why it's not changing?
Do you know where it came from?
I don't. Well, I feel like I read an article on it every year.
Well,
is it a farming thing?
Let's get into it.
That's what everybody thinks.
Yeah,
oh, it's well for farmers. Nope.
Okay, so
nothing to do with farming.
Why do we have it? Let's go there.
Well, Ben Franklin actually thought of this, but he
I've never heard it.
Never got implemented.
Yeah, who?
But Europe actually were the first to put it in place in the early 1900s. And then World War I happened, and it was seen as energy savings is where it originally came
right.
from. So World War I happened. We went to it during World War I. People hated it. And so when the war was over, they all rose up and we switched back. Then World War II happened. We went back to it again. People didn't hate it so much this time. And I've got a theory for that. But after the war, they decided to let states do whatever they wanted to on that. Stay in daylight saving time, not savings. Everybody says savings, right. But it's saving. I had to rewrite the bill, all three bills the first time because I had savings. And I found out, it's actually saving. Although they are considered interchangeable. But so after World War II, people kind of liked it. States were going rogue. Everybody's doing their own thing. And Congress stepped in and said, okay, we're going to give you two choices. You can either change it, you know, these two times a year, or you can stay in standard time year round. Indiana decided to stay. New Mexico and Hawaii stayed in standard time. The others, in the early days, it was in April was when you sprung forward, and then you fell back in it was earlier. Like in, I don't remember.
And actually that.
And it's, so it's expanded. It's been expanded to now where it's basically 8 months of the year we're in daylight saving time.
Right. Because was it not maybe 8-9 years ago that it got moved?
It did.
I don't remember.
Early 2000s. Mm. It was under George W. Bush. It was okay. The last time it got changed. And it was a big argument about the candy lobby wanted it to be after Halloween, so that it would still be light enough for little kids to go door to door.
There you go.
Because once it happens, it gets dark at like 5:30. Yeah, they said I don't know if this is true or not, but they said that day there were like bags of candy on every desk down at the Congress. You know, every office had these bags of candy delivered. Like, you know, do it for the children, the jobs.
Gotta be.
So
okay, so that's a little bit of the history. So it was really an energy savings measure.
Uh-huh. And it does save energy, but it's marginal. It's like, you know, the best case scenario, you're looking at 3-4% of savings on energy.
Now, let's talk about all of the benefits of doing away with it, because that's what was really interesting to me when I started kind of doing some Googling about it and all the stuff that you've posted. Things that people do not really think about. Even a lot of health-related issues.
For sure.
People so let's like talk about that.
Well, people like having their sunlight in the evening. They want to exercise in the daylight. They want to shop in the daylight.
Go outside after dinner.
Absolutely.
Like we just ate, and I was like, man,
your kids are at the park right now.
That's right.
Because it's daylight saving time for a week and a half more.
Right.
So there's lots of health reasons for that. The stock market historically has a bad day on the Monday after time change in either direction.
Okay.
Doesn't matter. Fewer car accidents. The majority of car accidents happen in the evening. So if you have one more hour of daylight, it lessens the amount of accidents because most of them are happening during dusk and dark.
Sure.
And then when we fall back, that first week after we fall back, there's a spike in pedestrian accidents because workers are used to driving home in the daylight, and suddenly they're driving home in the dark. Mm-hmm. And so there's more pedestrians killed, more heart attacks.
That was an interesting
one.
The
heart attacks has to do with just the time change period.
It's just messing with people's sleep cycle.
The stress. Yeah. And then kids, educators complain. They say it takes about 2 weeks for the kids to adjust in either direction. And we think, well, it's just an hour, but it's a pretty painful hour.
I get
it.
You're messing with your biology.
It's a solid week for me to get, you know, back on track. Like fully, you know, to not even notice it.
Right.
Yeah. So when you really start thinking about this, especially from a health standpoint, it starts to make a lot of sense. A lot of things that we just don't think about. The heart attack thing was really crazy to hear. Just all the stress that's involved. But when you think about it, yeah, there really is a lot of stress. It's funny, you were mentioning how it messes with church schedules. Our last church did a super confusing thing where they said, that Sunday that it dropped, we're not gonna participate in that. We're gonna do our regular time.
Oh, gosh.
And then you're like, then your brain is just hurting. You're like, wait. So we're gonna do our regular time, but it's actually gonna be an hour behind. Okay.
Anyways, don't add math into that.
And then you know you show up, and you know a lot of people aren't there, obviously, but yeah, it messes with a lot of things. And so I think it makes a lot of sense to pick one and stick with it. Now, which one do you currently want to stick with? Because
Well, if it was up to me, I would go daylight saving time year round.
Yes. My man. I feel like that's what most
it is. Prefer. It's about 70-30 if you had to choose between the two. The problem is we don't have the authority without congressional approval.
Right.
They don't want states going rogue. They want everybody to be on the same schedule.
But even so, you mentioned Indiana, New Mexico, and
Hawaii. They're on standard time. So we have the authority if we want to go to standard time year round.
Okay, I got you.
We can do that. But we, or we do the change, but we don't have the authority. So one thing I did get passed this year was a resolution. these resolutions are kind of dumb, okay? But an urging resolution, which urged the Congress to give the authority to the states to decide if they want to do daylight saving time year round.
Well, that sounds very persuasive because it's urging. Right?
It is very urging. And let me tell you, I feel a little funny story about that. I went by my office last week and there's this stack of the urging resolution on my desk, this stack of like 50 of them. And they're fancy paper. They've got a ribbon on them and a seal. I mean, they're kind of fancy stuff. I'm like, so I go to my administrative assistant. I go, what in the world is this about you? I don't know. They just brought it in. He said it was for you. And I'm like, what in the world? So I call the Secretary of State's office because they do that stuff. And they're like, we don't know why they did it. And so they said, why don't you try the clerk's office? So I had her call the clerk's office. The last paragraph of the resolution says, copies of this resolution shall be distributed to all 49 other states and the president of the United States.
Oh.
And I thought, you know, I should probably read my own resolution before I get it passed. So they said, we just make the copies. It's up to the representative to finish the rest of the job.
That's good.
Okay. Hey, you never know. You just never know.
But my original idea, Tim, was to put it on the ballot. It would have been on the ballot right now.
To let the voters decide.
Well, not let them decide, but it would have been a non-binding resolution, meaning,
gotcha.
You talk about the ultimate poll, okay?
Yeah, right.
Instead of calling 300 people and extrapolating
a poll
across
at
the state.
The polls.
A presidential election, put a non-binding resolution on there and let the people choose. We like it like it is. We want to go to standard time year-round or we want to go to daylight saving time year-round. And I thought it would be a big win. And in fact, a senator liked it so much, he took my exact same bill, took it in the Senate, as a companion bill, it passed unanimously out of the Senate, came over to the House, and leadership didn't allow it to get heard. I couldn't get it out of committee. And so I polled my own caucus, and they wanted to go with daylight saving time year, just make a resolution that will go daylight saving time year round pending congressional approval because we don't have the authority. And so I got that out of committee unanimously, but I never could get it to the floor for a vote. COVID happened. And
it seems like if you could get that on the ballot and let the people do that, you know, what they prefer, then you could go to the next step of congressional whatever.
Absolutely, because then you say the people of Georgia have
exactly
spoken.
Right.
And I made a commitment that whatever the outcome was, I was going to introduce the bill the next year that would reflect the will of the people, even if it wasn't the one I wanted.
I feel like if it's going to go on the ballot, there should be. It almost seems like there needs to be some sort of like marketing push behind it because I feel like a lot of people don't know standard time. What is daylight?
There would have
been. Which one's saving? I don't know.
There would have been a huge. It would have been. We'd been talking about it for a month.
The media would love to talk about.
Oh, the media loves the story.
I would love for them to talk about.
Listen,
it.
the day I dropped the two bills at first, daylight saving time year round or standard time year round. Three calls from the media immediately, and they all three came to the church the next day and interviewed me in my office about this.
Wow.
They said, "This is what everybody's talking about."
Yeah,
and I've been on the Weather Channel twice. Been on, most of the local stations, been on the radio a lot about it.
And now the world famous You Can Man podcast.
Well, yeah, so now I'm taking it to the next level.
Right.
With
now, now everybody knows about it.
And I appreciate it. I mean, I only had to pay a few $100 to get on here.
So where's the hang up? Because you said the Senate was pretty cool, and then it got to the House and got tangled up. Are we partisan something here?
No, it's not partisan at all. It's definitely a bipartisan issue, which is nice.
That's
good. For change. A lot of times, Josh, the way it works is you never know what the hangup is. You try to find out. I met with the leadership about this bill before I introduced it, the non-binding resolution, and I could tell they were concerned about precedent. They were setting precedent, putting this on the ballot. I said, we're actually not. We've had a non-binding resolution on the ballot before. Anybody remember what it was?
No.
I don't think so.
No.
It was in the early 2000s, and it had to do with the choice of the new state flag.
Mm. Oh,
they
yes.
Three designs on the ballot.
Is this when they had the blue one with all of the—
It was getting away from the blue
one. Oh, my gosh. It's the worst flag I've ever seen.
That was an ugly flag. That was one of the three choices, though.
Okay.
Was, do you like the ugly one, or do you like these two over here? And that's how we got our new flag, although it wasn't binding, obviously, for the legislature not to have chosen the flag that was the overwhelming you know, desire of the people of Georgia would have been a mistake. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't precedent setting. Now, they did that in a primary. They didn't do it in the general. This would have been precedent setting that would have been in the general. With you know, how many million people are going to vote in Georgia? It would have been awesome. But that ship has sailed, unfortunately.
So we're just really confused on why this is getting overlooked or not.
Now, what are the what are the chances with your self-imposed term limit that you've currently got now? Do you have a good shot of presenting this your next?
Oh, absolutely. Term? I'm coming back with it. Yeah, I'll have it drawn up again and introduce it. And I think the second week in November is when you can drop new legislation, because I've got several things I want to do in my last term. I think the term limit thing, I'm well positioned because it doesn't benefit me or hurt me. I'm also going to propose a pay raise that won't benefit me, because I think I'm uniquely positioned to do that, because I can argue, well, I'm not going to be here for it.
Right.
But I'm trying to make the case that $17,000, you get what you pay for. You know, you complain and complain about how bad things are down here. Well, let's pay some people what the job is worth. I don't know what that number is, but I got some research guys looking at data from across the country to bring Georgia to the average of what other
we looked into that when we decided we're going to have you on. We're like, yeah, I think Georgia's one of the ones that we pay basically nothing.
And
we need to balance that, you know, public servant or get wealthy balance. But yeah, I was shocked at how low.
Well, it's set up so that, you know, hardly anybody can serve, because you're basically full time January, February, and March, and then I probably work a half a day a week on average in the off season, maybe a little more. But you know, who can do that with it? Yeah. I mean, one of y'all's employers is signing up?
It's not happening.
Right.
So you have either people have their own practice, they're either a real estate agent, lawyers. They're wealthy by other means, or you have old people who got nothing better to do. No offense to the old people down there. I guess I'm almost one of them now. And then you got really young people that are still living with their parents who are running. And this is a big deal. And then what happens is a lot of my colleagues, they run a nonprofit for their real job. And I don't mean to be ugly, but it's kind of like a money laundering thing, because people can only give you so much money to your campaign. You can't use that for salary. You're making 17. But if you run a nonprofit, people can give unlimited amounts to your nonprofit.
And you can pay yourself what you want.
Pay yourself what you want. Exactly. And I don't know how we've tried. We've looked and looked at, is there any solution to that? Because that's another one of the incumbency advantages. But a person who ran for governor last time who thought they won but they didn't win had a nonprofit where this person was making $250,000 while this person was a state representative and took 250 committee days, which means she made $173 for each of those 250 committee days, and just gamed the system and then almost became our governor.
Gives you a lot of free time when you've got that kind of money.
It's ridiculous, man. Yeah. So we're getting what. You know, we created this. I don't know how we let it get to this, but it's bad.
Yeah,
it's not set up for success. That's for sure.
That is interesting. That's an angle that I had not really thought about, but that makes a lot of sense. Because initially, I was thinking, well, how much are you going to have to pay these people to attract the top talent? But it's not necessarily about that. It's about offsetting what they could be making at their regular job.
I think 30, 35, somewhere in there is about. I mean, I'm looking to make it. Alabama guys make 55, and they're very. It's very similar.
We saw some states over 100.
Yeah, some are full-time, though, so it's a little different.
Okay.
There are a few states that have full-time state legislatures. Gotcha. Can you imagine if we were there all year round trying to get in your wallet?
Is Texas one of the states that doesn't even meet every year?
Every other year. Yeah, Texas has got it, man. Every other year they have a session, and then Georgia would be well-served. But we'd have to have a constitutional amendment to make that happen, brought by those of us who probably don't want to make that happen.
Right. Well, let's spend the remainder of our time talking about the other bills that you've sponsored. I know that I have done, so I'm a photographer, and I've done a lot of shooting for a nonprofit, Voices for Georgia's Children.
Right.
And I remember I was shooting at the Capitol, and I was telling them, I'm texting my friend, and he's a state rep, Wes Cantrell. And they're like, oh my gosh, we love Wes. And then, you know, you came down and they all high-fived you or whatever. But they loved the stuff that you were doing for Georgia's Children. And so I would love to hear about some of the bills that you have sponsored in regards to that.
Okay. Well, my first bill came as a result of having knocked on all these doors. It was amazing. A guy like me could get elected because I had no idea how things worked, or, you know, probably like most people. And so I don't really get on to people now that you know, I ask him, who's your state rep? I don't know. And I go, well, I didn't know 7 years ago either, so I'm not going to make fun. But I've met all these families with special needs kids, and we're having education problems, and they didn't know about the special needs scholarship program that Georgia has.
Yeah.
And so I did a little digging, and I found out that and please, I hope this doesn't sound ugly, but for whatever reason, a lot of our school systems are not motivated to let parents know that there's this option, because they get reimbursed at a much higher level for a child with an IEP than they do a child that's sailing along and doing well. Hmm. So in some ways it behooves them financially to keep that kid in the system, even if right. it might not be the best thing for the kid.
Yeah, that's sad.
So I sponsored legislation, because every year those children and their parents have an IEP meeting with the administration where they talk about here's how they've done and here's their next year. So all my bill did, it was very simple, was at that meeting that they're already having, I want them to be handed this piece of paper. And on the piece of paper, it had a link and instructions about how to apply for the special needs scholarship program. And we passed the bill. Most of the first bills you get are jokes. So, you know, they're not that's too strong, but they're just kind of like changing the color of the drapes or something. And, I got tossed all these bills, and I was like, no, I didn't come here to do that. I'm only going to sponsor a bill if it actually makes a difference. And so I fought a long, hard fight. I was amazed that people were opposed to this. It's just crazy. Hmm. And the education establishment passed the bill. And then about 3 months later, a buddy of mine sent me a picture of his IEP meeting at the school in the piece of paper.
Look at that.
And I was very like, cool. Dude, it worked. It very actually cool. worked. You know?
Very cool.
But the one
I did something.
The bill they're talking about was probably – it's funny because as a Republican, you have this – everybody has the impression you have no heart.
Right.
And so if people find out you have a heart, then all – because Democrats can't pass bills right now in the given makeup. So when they find out you have a heart, all of a sudden you get, you know, the vultures come because they want you to sponsor their pet project. So this one was about the child abuse records. And so I sat down with them. I said, I don't know if I'm interested or not. You're kind of out of my lane on this, but tell me what you want done. And basically it protected people who were victims of child abuse. It protected those records so that when they got older, that could not be released.
Mm. All their video interviews and all this kind of stuff.
All of that stuff. Mm. And it was a big deal. I didn't really realize how big a deal it was. Same thing, though. About 6 months after we passed the bill, a lawyer friend of mine over in Athens sent me a text and said, I was just in a hearing where your bill protected somebody from having their identity revealed.
Oh, that's great.
So I'm like, okay, good. Wow. You know, so – so, you know, some things you get to do are fun, but
yeah.
most of it's not. I got to be honest with you. So.
Well, good deal. Well, if you guys want to follow what Wes is doing, you have a Facebook page, correct?
Correct.
And you can follow Wes. So it's Wes Cantrell. What district number are you, Wes?
22.
22. So if you live in Forsyth County.
East Cherokee, a little sliver of South Forsyth, and a tiny little sliver of North Fulton.
Yeah. So if that's your area, then Wes is your state representative. So get involved and see what he has been doing. If you have any questions for him, reach out. Ask him.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And if you want to, I don't know, help with this time change thing, he'll take all the help he can get. So,
call your rep or your state senator and tell them we want this.
Yes.
You know, we're tired of talking about it. Let's do something.
Yeah. And actually, maybe you've done this before, but I've participated. If somebody gives me some sort of something that I can copy and paste, or I can call up and say the specific thing or write a letter or whatever, I'll do it if I care about it enough. And so maybe you could put some copy out there that we could use.
I'm not sure that's a super effective strategy.
No, I'd actually like to know about that, because I've participated in stuff like that before.
I hate it, man. I hate it.
Yeah.
1,200 of the same emails. Oftentimes they forget to put my name in there and it just says name of representative or they call me senator. That does not, I would say,
what
by
is
and
the
large,
most
not effective.
Okay, so we're talking.
Most effective is a personal email.
Personal email.
Or a phone call.
Phone
call to my office at the Capitol. If you have my cell phone, that's fine too. And I give that out pretty liberally. But a phone call to the office or a personal email where I can tell you actually have some understanding of the issue that you're passionate about.
Okay, that makes a lot more sense.
The copy and paste email strategy just irritates my colleagues.
Okay, this is good to know.
I've had several people tell me I'm voting the opposite way because, you know, Eric Erickson rallied the troops and I got 1,400 texts. And he's got an ability now where you text something and I get added on Twitter and on Facebook and my phone lights up and my email. And most of the time, I'm on the other side of the issue already. Yeah. So they're pinging me for nothing, man. I'm like, do your homework and find out that your representative is totally on the same page with you. Yeah. You know? So that may work for somebody, but I haven't met them yet.
Okay. So you guys heard that. If you want to get involved in local state politics.
Which you should. More than the national.
Then do your research like a good You Can Man podcast listener. And, you know, be able to voice your opinion in an actual personal email or a phone call.
Yeah. And even better is before you have a complaint or an advocacy issue, call up your state rep or your state senator, introduce yourself, invite them to coffee, invite them to a meal, lunch, breakfast, or just tell them, hey, I'm praying for you. If you're a person of faith, how could I pray for you? You know, is there anything I can help you with? So that you just have some relational cachet, sure, if you will, so that when you call to complain, they go, oh, wait, I know this guy. He's not a nut. He's a reasonable guy. Right. I have had almost everybody that calls me and asks for a meeting. I have the meeting. I have met with people I could not disagree with more.
Yeah.
But I just feel like I owe it. I'm their representative. I signed up for this gig. I need to sit down and talk to people, whether I agree with them or not, because I don't just represent the people I agree with. I'm supposed to represent all 55,000
people. But Wes, you're a Republican. Republicans don't do that.
But I'm a Republican with a heart.
No, that's great. We need way more of that in regular life. I mean,
Yeah, so you're saying we need to be a friendly squeaky wheel.
Exactly. And people get all uptight about the national stuff, but you know, the president's not going to have that much to do with your day-to-day life. The governor's not going to have that much. It's going to be your state rep, your state senate, your city council member, your county commissioner, your school board member. Those are the people you really need to be concerned about. Too many people are all fired up about the stuff at the national level that's never going to affect your life. Yeah. Deal with the stuff in your community, man. I mean, that's where you can really
make these things like the special needs bill.
Exactly.
The time change bill, like that has to get traction at your local level first.
Right. This was very, very interesting. Wes, thank you so much for coming on the show and for lending us your time to talk about these issues. I want to ask you, if you get this through, we'd love to have you back on.
I might consider it.
Okay. Or if it's like, you know, in it and it's about to pass. And
we need to put pressure on them.
Yeah.
I'm going on a podcast, man. You're going to have to vote for this.
Yeah. Be like, have you heard of the UK Man podcast? Because I'm about to go on there and go off on all you guys.
Anyways, is who Rush Limbaugh listens to at night.
Good times. Well, Wes, thank you so much again. Guys, no bonus segment this week because we wanted to take, you know, have enough time to talk these issues out.
And so, Tim didn't prepare anything. So,
well, this is true. I'm working on something though. Anyways, but guys, thanks so much for joining us once again. If you have not checked out the Facebook group page, please do so. We will catch you guys next time.